Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and thank you and praise you for this wonderful opportunity. Father, it's your word. Lord God, if nothing else, Father God, Lord God, let us here focus on and be committed to doing your word. I pray that you, Lord God, would anoint me now to be able to deliver the message that you have given me in a way that the people are able to receive and that they, Lord, can take it and be able to use it to deal with being in a world of trouble. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Todd and the band, I want to thank you. Pastor, thank you for that wonderful jam session. However, that does not cut into my time, Pastor. See, I know what'll happen. Like, clock's running. Yeah, but the band jammed, and then we love it. We love it, but I need my time. Amen. All right. You know, in Scripture, it's one of the Scriptures that Pastor Tony quotes quite often, Proverbs 22:2. In the regular versions of that of the Bible, that Scripture says, a wise man sees trouble coming and hides himself, but a fool rushes on forward and basically ends up in destruction. Well, there's another version of it, and I asked Lavelle to pull up this version, and it's such an obscure version of the Bible, we don't even own it. He was going to have to buy it. It's like, no, that's okay. We're not going to use it that often. But I think it's very appropriate to help us to hear and to really get the impact of what the Bible's saying. So in Proverbs 22:2, in the contemporary English version, it says, when you see trouble coming, don't be stupid. It says, don't be stupid. It says, and walk right into it. Be smart and hide. Don't be stupid when you see trouble coming and walk right into it, but hide. So, as it says here on this barrel, and today this represents our world. Now, this is going to have some real significance in just a few minutes, but this barrel represents our world. And it says on there again, and that's the scripture there. It's John 16:33, and it says, in this world, inside of here, you will have trouble. Now, there's 7.6 million people in this world, and all of them have trouble. So you are coexisting. You are driving the 91 freeway. You are bumping around in the malls. You are at work with. Some may even be in your home. Some are in your home because we all have trouble. The question isn't whether or not we're going to have trouble, but the question is, what are we going to do about it? And this is where we have to really start, because we have to have the right mindset in order to be able to deal with the trouble. So here is something here from Colossians 3:2. It talks about setting your mind on things above, and we're going to go to that scripture in just a little bit. But right now, this is what I'd like to have you focus in on. It says, I am in the world, but not of it. And by knowing, believing, and doing God's word, I will live my life above it. Can you read that with me, please? I am in the world, but not of it. And by knowing, believing, and doing God's word, I will live my life above it. Amen. So by the time we finish up this message, I hope that really is a commitment that we leave here with. So I have a question for you. I'm going to have a pop quiz real fast. Pop quiz. Pull out your pens, pads, put away your cheat notes, all that. We're going to have a quiz. The quiz is, it's a fill in the blank. The world is A, good place where bad things happen, or B, a bad place where grace happens. A good place where bad things happen, or a bad place where grace happens. Now, your answer to this question will in large part determine whether you're going to just have trouble or whether trouble is going to have you. Because if you're walking around thinking that it's something strange that's happening to you, it's going to catch you off guard, and it's going to throw you off. It's going to cause panic. And when we panic, we do all sorts of crazy things. All sorts of crazy things. So we want to establish firmly this world is a bad place where God's grace allows good things to happen. When there is a mass shooting, when there is a forest fire, when there is political corruption, welcome to the world we live in. These are not strange people doing strange things. This is the 7.6 billion population. This is those who will not find the narrow road that the Bible talks about. It says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there'll be that find that one. The narrow road, few. So of the 7.6 billion, most are not going to get there. So let's see what Jesus says in John 16, 33. Why am I condemning this world as being a bad world? Which I know we don't like to hear. And I'll say why in just a minute, because I don't like it either. John 16, 33, this is Jesus, and he's talking to his disciples. He said, I have told you these things. He's told them some good stuff just before then, so you should take some time and read John 16 and 17. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So the disciples are like, yay, peace. Remember, they're not reading this. He's like, oh, they told us all this so we can have peace. Things are going to be wonderful. Jesus has given us peace. Then he keeps talking. See, we're reading ahead, but they didn't see this. So they're all set up for peace. Then he says, in this world you will have trouble. Period. And he's getting ready to leave. This is when Jesus is getting ready to leave. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, and I'm out. I'm leaving. But then he goes on to encourage him again. He says, but take heart. I have overcome this world. I'm going to leave you in it, but I have overcome it. That was the first hint for the disciples of what it was going to take to deal with this world of trouble, because we're in a world of trouble there. He says, take heart, because I have overcome it. So if you think this world isn't bad, if you think it isn't evil, look at 1 John 5 and 19. And you will see why it's so evil. It says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the who? The who? The evil one. And look at the evil ones. The evil one has a mission statement. Anybody have a personal mission statement? The devil has a personal mission statement. He took time, he sat down, and he wrote out his mission statement so that he never gets off track. He always stays focused on his mission. Now, he's in control. And what's his mission? Kill, steal, and destroy who? Us, me, you, 7.6 billion in this world. He's in control. The reason that I like my little garbage can analogy is because it's a container. And because we live in America where we feel like this is the land of the free. We have all sorts of options. When trouble comes our way, we got an option here, we got an option over there. Quite frankly, the only option you have other than going around and around and around is up. Everything else is what would be called circular reasoning. You reason that this world is good so you can find the good to counter your troubles within it. Circular reasoning. It's not in here. That means the only option is up. The only option is up. So let's see. Turn to John 17, 14. John 17, 14. Because we need to know exactly what it means. Because if I have to live in this world and this world... In this world, I'm going to have trouble, and yet I'm told to take heart and that Jesus has overcome it. Well, Jesus, how do I tap into your overcoming? How do I identify with, how do I live in that overcoming life that you said that you have set in place for us? Because all I know right now is I'm in this world right here. So in John 17, it says, I have given them your word. Now, this is Jesus praying for his disciples. Now, not only is he praying for his disciples, but we're not going to read that far, but if you were to read on down at verse 20, it says, not only for them, but for those that will believe what they are teaching and what I have taught them. So this is for all of us. And it says, I have given them your word, the message you gave me, Heavenly Father, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world. Christian, you got double trouble. You're in a world of trouble, and they hate you. You're in a world of trouble, and you're hated. You've got double trouble. But we're going to read on. This is very interesting. So it says, they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, which is very paradoxical. It's like, how can I be in the world but not of it? Okay, we're going to find out. Just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. Jesus said, I don't belong to this world. I'm out of this world. But look at verse 15. Look at what our loving, wonderful Savior prayed to the Heavenly Father. He said, Father, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. So sometimes we are, where's God? Is there a God? How can a loving God allow this to happen and that to happen? Get past it. You live in a world of trouble. He prayed to the Father that we be in this world, but he prayed that though we are in it, we would not be of it, which means it would not overtake us. And he prayed also that we would be protected from the evil one. So let's get our minds locked in on we're in an evil world. It's God's will, apparently, that we be here, but he's made a way of escape for us. He's made a protection for us. He has put a protective perimeter around us so that the enemy can only do so much if we are tapped into him. There are limits. And so what we want to know is how do we make sure that we are getting tapped into and taking advantage of this protection he's given us? And the answer is right here. He says in verse 16, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. 17, here we go. Sanctify them in truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is true. Sanctification is that process of separation. It is the process by which we can be in this world, but be separated from the trouble that the world brings. It's sanctification. How do we get sanctified and separated? By the truth. What is the truth? His word. His word. That's why the point is we have to know, believe, and do his word. It is the only way to escape this trouble. So if we're going to do his word, if we're going to really lock into that, we have to get our minds renewed, as the Bible tells us. Because what we're looking for then is that we have to have a mindset that is locked in on the things of God and not on the things that are in this earth that are keeping us bound up and going around and around. So if we go over to Colossians 3:2. So just quickly, think about it this way. If you are trying to solve a problem, and that problem is something that keeps coming up, and you keep trying to solve it the same way, you keep going around and around. If you go around and around the same spot, pretty soon you develop what's called a rut. A rut is a ever-deepening circle or ever-deepening pattern that gets deeper and deeper. So not only do you not solve your troubles, but you get sucked down deeper into them. And then you're wondering, you know, I'm doing these things and I'm doing this formula, but it's not working because it can't work within this circle. You have to look up. That's why Colossians 3:2, it says, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And here's the kicker. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on earth, which are only temporal, of only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is our life, Christ who is our life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So we have to have a mindset that is up-minded. It's got to be up. See, there's three mindsets that the Bible talks about. There are the blind-minded, there are the double-minded, and then there's the up-minded. We have to be up-minded. The up-minded folks are the people like Job, who was going through every kind of imaginable trouble, family death, sickness, loss of financial means and gains. Everything was breaking out. And his response was, though he slay me, I will serve him. Should I just accept the good and not accept the bad that comes from the Lord? That's the attitude of an up-minded person. Joseph, when he was kidnapped and thrown into the pit, and he was put into slavery, he was falsely accused of rape and then falsely imprisoned. And his thing was, when it came to his brothers, it was, you meant it for bad, but God made it for good. His attitude was always up-minded. Jesus Christ, who went to the Garden of Gethsemane and did not want to go to the cross for us, but he was agonizing and bleeding drops of blood. And what he said was, nevertheless, Not my will, but Lord God, your will. If they were here, I'd have them testify right now, and we'd all be getting it and shouting. Well, they're not here, but my wife, Delisa, is here. And I'm going to have her come forward because she also has found a need and found a way to deal with being troubled, but yet turning to the Word of God as a solution. So 31 years ago, we brought forth a son. And when we brought forth that son, it kind of blew her circuit. She went through what was known as postpartum, not depression, psychosis, where you were literally strapped to a bed because you just don't have it at all. She went from there being diagnosed with bipolar disorder, being told, you will be on medication every day for the rest of your life. You must take this medication and all of its side effects. She's kind of hard-headed when it comes to stuff like that. She heard the doctor, but she heard the Lord saying, let's try something different. So I want her to just tell you how being up-minded, setting your mind on things above, can help you to deal with the troubles here below. Talk about, dear, how you use the Word of God to deal with this and to get the victory that you've gotten.
First of all, it's not easy. It is a fight. We are in a fight daily, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. We have to fight. Amen. For what we want. You fight for clothes, you fight for cars, you fight for things and stuff that are perishing fast.
Yes.
We have to fight for the Lord. We have to fight for our minds.
Amen.
We have to set our minds on things above.
Hallelujah.
Like you just said.
Yes.
We have to have mentors and friends to come around you and say, get up out of that bed, clean up this mess. Debbie used to come over and just act all. I mean, I'll be looking at her like, are you kidding me?
Amen.
I can barely see, less known. Get
Amen.
Out of the bed. I had a fog over me. I didn't say this second service, but I could not even see how to put my clothes on. I won in junior high school best dress. I couldn't even dress myself. That's how the devil is getting, trying to get him, but through me. Some of the things he does, he's very cunning, very manipulating, very just strategic.
Yes.
You guys, you don't get this. You cannot play with the devil. Step in the world. You got to stay out of that world.
Yes.
That's what set apart means. Separate yourself from the devil.
Amen. Amen.
It's a real thing. I had Deborah's CD that played in my bedroom, Restore Your Soul.
Yes.
I don't know. She knows the name of it.
Yes.
Restore Your Soul.
Yes.
And emergency prayer. My niece would go. I would be across the street because I didn't want to be with this man because all the stuff that happened is because I was married to him. Before I was not married to him, I was traveling the world. Really. I was, doors were opening, things were happening. But I got to give it back to him. God is good.
So just real quickly, I got a few more minutes, but talk about what you really do, though. So these manic depressive episodes, they come on in episodes. So you kind of see it coming, you sense it's coming. Talk about what you really do, though, so that you really stop it and that you get control over it so trouble doesn't have you. You have trouble.
Okay. At 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit will say, get up. And I'll look over and he's snoring. And I'm thinking, he's snoring. Why?
She really does love me, guys.
I do. I love him. And the Holy Spirit will say, get up. So I'll get up. And when I get up, I do spiritual warfare that we learn from our mentor from Foursquare, and of course Pastor Bishop Ed and Pastor Tony. All of these are prevalent things and people that have been in my life to help me to stand. My mom, and my mom's not a praying woman, but my mom prays in her own way. She doesn't go to church all the time, but she's and my dad and different things, but the word works.
The
you
word,
all.
That's it.
When Calvin come in the house sometimes, I wouldn't even let him. I mean, he would say, you have to be quiet. I got to do work tomorrow. And I'd be screaming to the top of my head, just the spiritual warfare. I said, either you're going to take me for a ride or you're going to let me holler out like I need
to do.
And he would let me holler out in that house. And he'd go on and put the pillow over his head or whatever he needed to do. It's real, y'all. We have to fight the good fight of faith to get through this crazy world that we live in. We're in it, but we're not of it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, when I come home, amen. When I come home and nothing's on, that means, uh-oh, she's shutting out the world and she is shut in with God. And now she takes that medication maybe twice a year. Maybe twice a year, catches her off guard every now and then. So I'm not saying don't take medication. I'm not saying don't embrace what the world has for us in terms of medication. I'm just saying let Jesus have the first and the last word. Okay? So set your mind on things above. If your mind is set on things above, the trouble that's here, you now have a counter defense to that trouble. You have a way up and a way out. It's like when a mind is filled with the word of God, that mind rises above. So this is the world right here. And again, as long as you are trying to solve it in here, you're just going around and around. But when that mind is filled with the word of God, it's like a balloon that's filled with helium. See, the evil is like gravity. It's always trying to pull us down. It's constantly pulling us down. You know, if you do nothing, if you just coast through life, you will end up doing wrong. All of us know that. It's just like gravity. But when you fill your mind with the word of God, just like helium inside of a balloon, your mind rises above the world. It rises up above the world. Now, here she is. She's still in the world. She's still in it. Yeah, she's still in it. Because Jesus said, Lord, leave her there. Leave her there. But her mind is up here. So while she's down here with these 7.6 million people who are running around trying to solve their problems up here, she's dealing at a higher level. She's dealing at a higher level. See, and I had a meeting with my new team there at Kaiser, and we were working on our values and our vision, and they were coming up with, we want to be congenial, and we want to be nice and no rudeness. And what it came down to was the fires, the mass shootings, all these things have them looking for peace. They said it. We want this to be peaceful here. We want to come to work, and we want it to be peaceful. And I just couldn't tell them because Kaiser doesn't allow it, unless they listen to this recording. Jesus is the only peace you're going to get. Until he's the CEO, chief operating officer, and totally in charge, I can't give you peace here. I will give you concepts. I will give you biblical concepts. But unless you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are looking for peace in all the wrong places. So this is our whole theme. I hope this will be burned into your mind. You can choose to be in the world, represented by a garbage can, because basically this is all decomposing and perishing. The outer man is decomposing. We are decomposing, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. We are decomposing. So you can choose to stay in here and decompose, or you can elevate. You can elevate and be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's a wonderful place to be. There's peace there, there's joy there. And guess what? The greatest enemy that you have in here, let's say so she dies. Guess what? Then she goes up all the way, never to ever deal with this again. Poor little thing getting beat up. But that's the key. We have the solution to every problem. Death is the last problem that man will never, ever be able to solve. Never, ever. But you have the solution and you have the key if you are in Christ Jesus. So let's just read this together one more time, and this time, I pray that you will commit it to being your mission. Let the devil have his mission. Don't worry about him. You just make this your mission. Let's read it. I am in the world, but not of it, and by knowing, believing, and doing God's word, I will live my life above it. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for giving us a way out.